Hello?
Hi, this is Maslach speaking.
Oh, hey. This is Alex.
Sorry,
Hey,
I couldn't
Alex.
hear you for a sec there.
Hi there. My name is Alex DeBoer. This is your Vancouver COVID-19 update. Today is Thursday, April 30th. One day till rent's due. Could you start out by introducing yourself?
Sure. My name is Maslach Garibnavaz. I'm on the steering committee for the Vancouver Tenants Union.
It's been just over a month since the BC NDP unrolled a handful of new supports for renters and landlords impacted by COVID-19. These supports include a temporary rental supplement of up to $500, a suspension on evictions, and a full freeze on rent increases until this crisis ends. So, how have all these new supports played out over the last month? For example, have applicants received the rental supplement? Have landlords and renters been signing rental deferral agreements? And if so, does that mean renters are accumulating rent debt, i.e., rent they will owe into the future? And also, Landlord BC is now calling for the province's rental supplement to be doubled. Is there a new solidarity between renters and landlords? I called Vancouver Tenants Union Steering Committee member Mazdak Garibnavaz to ask him about all this. Last week, local reporter Jen St. Denis wrote a housing piece in the Tyee, featuring Mazdak as both a VTU member and a renter, who, like so many others, has lost work and has applied for the province's rental supplement. I started out by asking Mazdak if he had heard from BC Housing and anticipated receiving the rental supplement by May 1st.
So, no, I have not heard back from them. I have called them, and sort of the line that's said on the phones is really, we don't have many details. As long as you have a tracking number, someone will be running through your application at some point. They obviously couldn't confirm that that would happen before May 1st, and on a different piece, also by Jen on CTV, she reported that, actually, I believe on the same piece as well in the Tyee, she reported that they got 45,000 applications, and they had only sent out money to 3,000 people, and they were in the process of processing another 12,000. So really what we're talking about is maybe they will get to a third of the applications before May 1st. And what they're saying is, it'll be retroactively given to your landlord. So the money will get there. It's just we haven't gotten to it, which causes its own problems.
Okay, so are you having to make the choice between paying your rent this month and paying for groceries and other essentials?
So, what I've personally done is send an email to my landlord, kind of explaining that I haven't heard back, but I'm expecting that they will approve it. And so, can I send you this much? And what I proposed was to also lower the rent on top of that 300, given that just with EI and how much I would get. Realistically, to cover food and groceries and other bills, I wouldn't be able to cover the full amount even with that 300.
Right. And you're just waiting to hear back from your landlord.
That's right, and I will just remind people that when they first made the announcement, and I think this was a huge boondoggle by the BC NDP, they kind of went out there and they said, "We're going to give people $500." And when they rolled out the program, it turned out to be $300 unless you have a dependent, and it doesn't matter how many dependents you have either; it's still a flat $500. But really, we're talking about a $300 to $500 range for the support.
Yeah, that's a really good point, and a detail that was left out of obviously headlines and quick reporting when the BC NDP made that announcement. In the same Tyee article, your fellow VTU steering committee member David Hendry was also quoted, and he argued that it makes more sense for small landlords to pressure government to support them and help them pay their bills rather than harassing tenants who may have lost income and simply not have the money to pay. And actually, it seems like Landlord BC has listened. So yesterday, the Georgia Strait reported, Carlito Pablo reported that Landlord BC, which is a landlord lobbyist group, they asked the provincial government to actually double its current temporary rental supplement, which means that they would be giving up to $1,000 for renters with dependents per month. And they're also asking the province to do away with the income test that qualifies renters for the subsidy. So first off, I'm just wondering, what do you think about these changes that Landlord BC is advocating for?
Yeah, essentially two main things are true here. The first thing that's true is that the temporary rent supplement is insufficient for paying full rents, $300 in a market that the average rate is $2,100 for one bedroom is obviously mm-hmm. very little. It's administratively burdensome. You know, we talked about how BC Housing might get to a third of the applications by May 1st. So it's taking a long time. And it's not universal, and it's inaccessible for different kinds of people, which means that they fall through the cracks. So all of those things are true. But secondly, what's also true is that this program is essentially a direct subsidy for landlords, right? It's money that flows from the pockets of taxpayers to the pockets of landlords. And so, of course, it makes sense that they want to increase that so that they can maintain sort of the same profit margins, the same sort of business as usual that they've been operating under when there isn't a crisis, a pandemic. So we think that there's a better way to do this, which is to take the profit motive out of housing during the pandemic. What the Vancouver Tenants Union is calling for is to cancel rent and mortgage payments. So that means that folks are going to keep their homes, whether it's a rental payment that they can't make or a mortgage payment. And it also means that, you know, landlords wouldn't be on the hook for making that mortgage payment, which means they don't have to be fighting with their tenants. And so what David, the point that he was making was that it makes more sense for small landlords, you know, for these people that David Hutniak and Landlord BC put front and center a lot of the time, for them to join with us and kind of make those demands of big banks and the government to stop with the mortgages as opposed to kind of going after us.
Right, totally. And that just makes sense business-wise. But, and as you say, that could be just to protect their profit margins. But it is interesting to actually examine the language that David Hutniak used. He said both landlords and renters are in this together. And in yesterday's Landlord BC press release, he was quoted, "The current benefit amount is inadequate for a vast majority of renters relative to the monthly rent they are responsible for. And furthermore, the selection criteria is, in our view, leaving many renters behind." And it's just quite interesting to read the way they framed it, right? It's, as you say, very like renter first. And we're all in this together. And yeah, I don't know. Do you feel like Landlord BC is being genuine at all in this kind of professing of a new allyship?
That's a great question. First of all, I just want to preface this by saying that I think in a lot of this reporting, the framing that's being used, or parroted, of what Landlord BC says and what David Hutniak says, it could use some honesty. So, if we look at the numbers, Canadian Center for Policy Alternatives, looked at what percentage of homeowners are sort of what we think as small landlords, right? A mom and pop that might be renting out a basement suite to pay for their mortgage. And what they found was that out of all the homeowners in Canada, only 4% of homeowners are in that situation. So, of all the people that own homes, only 4% of them are these small landlord types that are at risk because tenants aren't paying rent. And so what it means is that the rest of the landlords that Landlord BC represents are really sort of rich investors or large corporate landlords who own multiple properties. In fact, in their own survey, they sort of they released a survey of their members, and they defined small landlord as someone who owns less than 10 properties, which is ridiculous. But you know, the talking point is always there, which is, you know, mom and pop landlords are in trouble. So I just wanted to preface that by saying that about the honesty of those talking points. But also just in terms of what's on the hook, renters are on the hook for, you know, feeding themselves and their medical bills and other bill payments that they need to make. And landlords are on the hook for maintaining their investments that are worth hundreds of thousands of dollars, maybe millions of dollars. So it's a false equivalence to say we're all in this together, to say that, you know, the same things are on the line between these two sort of groups in society. That's really not the case.
Right. And so while Landlord BC is framing this and wording it as solidarity, and that in a way they are punching up because by asking for an increase in the rental supplement, it helps renters, but really it goes directly into their bank accounts and protects their bottom line. And what you're saying is that, if I have this right, it is better to actually campaign, sort of join your campaign to cancel rent and take the profit out of housing, because that's the actual issue. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you're in a situation where the rent payments and also the mortgage payments are canceled, it means that the cost that's being shaved off there is the extra profit that was being made before. And so it's totally reasonable to be saying we shouldn't be profiting off of people's misery in the crisis. It's also not unprecedented. Right now, Democrats in the US are getting prepared to introduce a federal bill to freeze rents. And so it just makes logical sense to push for that. And, you know, the campaign to sort of reframe this as landlords need more subsidies ultimately is going to be hurtful for society because that's all of our money coming out of the general revenue. Tax money is just all our money. And it's sort of we are acting as vehicles to pushing that money upward to people who are going to pocket it.
And then I'm curious, just to get a sense of what you are hearing as a VTU steering committee member about kind of the situation most renters are in right now. I know David Hutniak and Landlord BC did do a survey, and that survey within their organization found that 24% of landlords have executed a rental deferral agreement with their tenants, and this is according to reporting in the Georgia Strait. So, are you hearing that there are a lot of rental deferments being arranged between tenants and landlords?
Yeah, so I obviously the VTU, we're also calling, we have a survey for renters, and we're hoping that many people are able to fill that out so that we can get our own sense as well. And some have, and based sort of at, you know, what we're hearing so far and some of that data, really the situation for renters, there's no reason to think that it's improved. They're still being hounded a lot by landlords. So either they're in a situation where they haven't received any support from the government of British Columbia, $0 have flowed to them since middle of March, And if they have talked to their landlord and they've said that I'm not going to be able to make default rent, what should I do? Either they're reaching corporate landlords, which are really big businesses that are saying, it's business as usual for us. There's no flexibility. If you can't pay the full amount, you should leave. Or they are, reaching landlords who are presenting rent deferral as a evidence of their flexibility, which is really problematic because our main concern as VTU is that people don't take on rent debt. And essentially what that means is if you sign up for a rent deferral or a repayment program with your landlord, in the future, they're going to be able to tack that on top of rent. It's going to cause financial hardships for people and essentially ask them to wipe away their futures by getting into these agreements. The other thing I want to also say is we've actually heard of cases where landlords said, I'm not going to approve my part of the application, right? So for the rental supplement, you have to apply as a tenant, and then your landlord has to fill their part, and then BC Housing sends money to them, and the landlords have said, no, I'm not going to fill this out. And the reason they're not doing that is because they're looking for excuses to evict people when the time comes that they're able to do that. So there's a real financial incentive for evictions to happen, particularly for people who live in units that they've lived in a long time, that are below market rate. And so once those people get kicked out, due
to
to
raise the rent.
exactly due to non-rent payment, the landlord can then just jack up the rent to whatever level the market is at.
Is there any protection in place for tenants who, like, is there a way they can keep track of landlords who are refusing to submit their portion of what's needed for the rental supplement?
BC Housing has come out with messaging that says, if your landlord is unwilling or will not do their part, then get in touch with us and we'll work with you on a one by you know one one on one cases basis. But that's a real problem given that BC Housing is already strapped for capacity, trying to just get through all of the applications that they've received so far. We're now delving into the territory of an additional layer where you're going to have to, reach out to them and then try and work out a different way to get this money. It's a really, I would personally qualify this policy as a failure in terms of its goals and in terms of its implementation.
Interesting. Well, I'll be eager to read the results of your survey among VTU members once it's complete to get a clear sense of what people are going through. Do you know when that survey comes to a close?
Hopefully in the next few days, honestly, I'll reiterate that Vancouver Tenants Union is purely a volunteer organization, and so we've been strapped for capacity trying to do all the things that we want to do. The main thing that we're actually calling for is for people to go to our website, VancouverTenantsUnion.ca, and take the action that we've rolled out, which is we're asking folks to call their MLAs, members of legislature, and asking them to tell their story and to tell them that we need to freeze rents and mortgage payments. This is going to have to be the solution that we have going forward during this crisis. Otherwise, tenants are going to be taking on the brunt of this crisis. And coming out of it, we don't know what sort of economic situation we're going to be in even after this. We're potentially staring at the prospect of global depression. And so it's going to be really important for people to understand that Your future is at risk. And if lawmakers, if policymakers don't understand that, are not implementing what we need them to do now, then that's going to have a real bad consequence on folks.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and thank you for all your work. As you point out, VTU is volunteer run, and it's incredible what you guys are doing to organize renters. So I'll include a link to where people can get more info on your Cancel Rent campaign on your website. And yeah, I guess I just want to thank you for your time again, Mazdek.
Thanks again, Alex. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Yeah, it's nice talking to you as well. So I'll edit Thank this
you
and
for
then have it up.
listening. This has been your Vancouver COVID-19 update for Thursday, April 30th.
This piece was made by me, Alex DeBoer. Special thanks to Mazdek Garibnavaz for his time. The song you hear is Luper by Blue Dot Sessions. Take care.